I would be grateful if you would take the church Bibles and turn in them to Galatians chapter 6 on page 180 of the New Testament section. We're continuing tonight our sermon series on spirituality, and we come to the fourth subject in that series, sowing to the Spirit. The title tonight is taken, as many of you would have realized, from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. He who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Sowing to the Spirit. This is probably a less familiar term in our normal Christian vocabulary than the more familiar ideas of walking by the Spirit, which comes in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 25, or setting the mind on the Spirit, which comes in Romans 8, 6. But though it may be less familiar as a term, it's certainly one of the most important and powerful principles for Christian living that's set out for us in the Scriptures. A principle which deals with the question, how can I grow as a Christian? Very often, of course, preachers deal with the fruit of the Spirit, which we read about in Galatians 5:22, the evidence of the Spirit's work in the life of the Christian believer. But very much less often are we told how to go about it, how those fruit of the Spirit may actually be encouraged to grow in us, how we can actually nourish their growth. Many people become discouraged in their Christian lives because of lack of progress in spiritual things. They were converted years ago, but still that same old temper dogs them. That guy at the office, well, he just brings out to me everything that's plainly not Christian. Or maybe a young Christian recently come up to college or university and faces new pressures and challenges and finds he's beginning to stagnate or even slip back. Quiet times, well, they become prayer and worry sessions. Sin, not sanctification, becomes the order of the day. Oh, can a man change? Lord, help me. I wonder if that's you. Well, if it is, I pray that you will be really encouraged tonight, for sowing to the Spirit is dynamite for Christian sanctification. It was Martin Buber, the Jewish philosopher, contemporary philosopher, who asked the question, is there anything that can change that intractable thing, human nature? The answer of Scripture to that heartfelt question is yes, if you sow to the Spirit, Jesus Christ can transform you. As a preliminary, then, may I say something about the theme of spirituality as it comes generally in the Bible. The Bible knows of no such thing as spirituality without sanctity. In other words, there's no biblical teaching which assumes that we can have a growing knowledge of God without us being prepared to be actually changed into his likeness. Or more simply still, God's purpose is that we should become like Jesus. Holiness is the key theme, I think, for Christian living. And spirituality in the Bible really means to become more and more like Jesus in all aspects of our lives. Now, this is a theme that runs throughout the Scripture. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus 11:44, and again in the New Testament, in 1 Peter 1:16, the Lord says to his people, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. Holiness is to become like Jesus. So let's be practical. How do I become like Jesus? How do I actually do it? Well, I think there are many Christians who come to an impasse at this point. They come up against a kind of brick wall. They say, yes, I long to be holy. I long to be like Jesus. I long to live as God intends. Yes, I do want to be humble. I do repent. I do confess. Yes, I accept God's forgiveness with great joy, with great rejoicing. And yes, I've done my spiritual spring cleaning as well. I've chucked out the rubbish. But I've come to a brick wall. Where do I go from here? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But why don't those fruits grow in me? Well, Michael said last week that there was another side of the story when you've cleared out the rubbish. Sowing to the Spirit is the other side of that story. And sowing to the Spirit is God's way for us to become like Jesus, for living as God intends. It's the how to do it of the Christian life. So this evening, I want us to take a scriptural overview rather than dealing with just one passage in particular, because this is a subject that God has prepared for us widely in His Word, and we must equally take a broad approach to it. So let's approach this important area of spirituality by setting ourselves an agenda, setting ourselves a question, so that we can be clear in our minds what we're actually aiming at. And I'll put the question like this. How can I become like Jesus and know the Holy Spirit's power to enable me in this task? With that question in mind, I'm going to divide the scripture's answer into three parts. And we won't come to the specific consideration of sowing to the Spirit until the third part, because it's very important indeed to consider biblically two other major related areas if we're to be clear what exercising the Spirit's power is really all about. The first two areas are an integral part of what it means to sow to the Spirit. And we can't be clear about sowing to the Spirit unless we have a clear grasp of two things: the clarity of God's purpose and the availability of God's power. So let's kick off with our first point, the clarity of God's purpose. We must focus on Jesus. We receive the Holy Spirit when we believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. I take that to be self-evident from Scripture. So as we focus upon Jesus, we learn first of all about our own sinfulness, about the way that we fall short of God's glory, and then we learn about God's requirement of holiness, and then learn about the glorious good news that Jesus is the way par excellence to the Father, that He forgives us for all that has been wrong. He accepts us totally into God's family, so that we are forgiven and cleansed and can call God our personal Abba, Father. So we become sons and daughters of the living God. And to that end, we are given the amazing provision of the Holy Spirit to transform us in our Christian lives. The Holy Spirit is given to us precisely that we might live like Jesus as His younger brothers and sisters in the family of God. And so then we share the family likeness. We are meant to become holy as God Himself is holy. God the Father and God the Son in Jesus. It's in this way that the New Testament, I think, adds grace and good news to the law of the Old Testament. Focusing on Jesus, we learn these things. As those who've received the Holy Spirit, we must be clear that his role is, in fact, to enable us to focus upon Jesus in the first place. And for our thinking this evening in particular, to glorify Jesus, setting him before us as the supreme example of Christian living. Our first stage in getting going on this work of sanctification, becoming holy, becoming like Jesus. The Holy Spirit focuses the spotlight on Jesus. He focuses the spotlight on Jesus' sufficiency in his death for us, on Jesus' sufficiency in his example. Totally God-centered living. That's what we need to follow. Jesus' example of totally God-centered living. And on Jesus' resources. Those resources that are actually able to get us to the point where we can begin to live it out. And with that last area of the Spirit's work, we're ready to move on to our second point for consideration. Moving on from focusing on Jesus to the availability of God's power. We must look to his resources. I've been reading a marvelous book, I think, by David Watson called Discipleship that was published by Hodder just last year. And David Watson says in that book that many Christians fall into the bondage of trying hard to become what they think they ought to become. I think he's put his finger on something very real. So many of us know that we ought to be full of love, of life, of wisdom, of joy, of power, and faith. But for many of us, though, it seems such a long and hard, bewildering struggle. There's some who look at the situation like this. With these Christ-like qualities in some way detached from us, how can we get the love and life that we do not in fact possess? How do we? The Bible's answer is look to your resources in Jesus. The implication there is if you look to his resources, then you'll look away from your inadequacies. We're meant to utilize his power rather than our weakness as we progress in sanctification. Look over in your Bibles in the New Testament to page 181 on the other side. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. Marvelous passage in Paul's letter. And it contains from verse 17 one of the most discerning prayers for Christian maturity which perhaps has ever been prayed. And I just want you to notice one very small detail in what Paul prays in verse 19. He prays for the Ephesian Christians that they might know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. Marvelous phrase, isn't it? The immeasurable greatness of his power. Do you believe in the mighty power of God? Do you believe that God's power is immeasurable, incomparable? Because we already own the Holy Spirit, possess him in our lives, that power is indeed latent in you and in me, waiting for us simply to rely upon God for the exercise of it. Do you believe it? Do you believe what the Bible says at this point? Because Paul says an amazing thing about God's power at work within us. He says it is the same power that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. He goes on to speak about that in verses 19 and 20. When Jesus was brought back to life again, God used exactly the same power that is at work within you and in me. Do you believe it? That is what the Bible says. Look to the resources of Jesus. Look to the resources that are already yours as a Christian. Now, I want to make this point firmly. Christians do not need to plead with God to bestow upon them his power. For God's word says to us all that power is already ours when we are in Jesus Christ. What we have to realize is this. All we need is in Jesus. Once we're truly in him, then we are complete in him. We already have potentially all the love, life, power, faith that we need to serve him. Look to Jesus' provisions and then stop struggling with the limitations of human willpower. For human willpower will always give up on you. It will always be defeated. Begin to make progress by using the Spirit's power. And the Spirit's resources are immeasurable. Do you realize how different this is from what many Christians think the Christian life and sanctification is all about? Christianity is not the imitation of Christ, as Thomas the Kempis once so misleadingly, I think, suggested. Of course, we're to be like Jesus. We are to develop like him, to use his example. But the New Testament says an exciting thing. We are in Christ. We do not imitate him. We participate in him. We use the resources that he's already made available for us. Otherwise, we're quickly going to find ourselves up against a spiritual brick wall of failed spiritual ambition, trying hard to imitate him and finding that we've not got the power, humanly speaking, to do so. I'm not saying we can be perfect overnight. We'll not be perfect until we get to heaven itself. But we can make a great deal of progress on our journey. So focus on Jesus. Look to his resources. Now we're in the practical situation of knowing how we can sow to the Spirit. Our third area. Back now to Galatians 6, there on page 180. Christian life is not easy. Jesus never said it would be. He said that we need to count the cost of our Christian discipleship. It is, as Paul said in Romans 7, a struggle. But for many Christians, it can be a struggle of inertia. They don't get anywhere. Whereas sowing to the Spirit is all about making positive preparations for growth, moving on in the Christian life. Now think about sowing to the Spirit for a moment. It's a picture, isn't it? A metaphor taken from agriculture, of sowing a field. When you've ploughed up your field, then you're ready to sow the seed because you've cleared out the rubbish. And the fruit grows after the seed has been sown, and when time and care has been spent on its cultivation. Paul says in verse 7, you just look at it. What a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, I'd like us just to wrap our minds around this agricultural metaphor for a moment. Sowing. Well, it takes place in a field. And the field in this metaphor is the Spirit of God. We sow to the Spirit. The Scripture says, it's God who gives the increase. Let me just remind you of a passage in Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 36 and verse 30, where the Lord speaks about the new heart that he's going to give to his people and the new spirit that he will put within us. It's absolutely clear that verse 30 is meant to be taken in just this spiritual sense. When the Lord says, I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant. God gives the increase. He produces the fruit of the Spirit. But the field, that's the Spirit himself. What we sow, well, that's our own lives. I'd like just to say actually one more thing about the field before I talk about the seed that is sown. It's important for us to know and understand and take very seriously that our major resource for the Spirit's exercise of his power is the Word of God. Isaiah 55, if you remember, makes this point that God's Word is like the water that nourishes the field and makes the crops grow. And again, in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God is given that we might be complete, lacking in nothing. Paul says in that passage that Scripture is a God-breathed word. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that men and women of God might be complete. How we long for that, and lacking in nothing. Just in passing, notice that phrase, training in righteousness. It's very important as a picture, because it's all to do with being holy, learning how to become holy. And the Word of God is part of his own equipment to that end. It's part of the Spirit's equipment. It's described as an adjunct to the Spirit's armor in Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 17, the Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. It's our major weapon by which we fight the battle of the Christian life. It equips us to sow to the Spirit. Let me say a final word about ourselves. The seed which is sown to the Spirit. The Lord Jesus wants you, and he wants me, and he wants all of us. He will let the fruit of his life and his love grow in us if we make room for him in our lives. We have to decrease in order for him to increase. We thought last week about clearing out the rubbish. I want to say to you that the way we go about that in terms of putting on Christ after we put off ourselves can only take place on the basis of God's word through prayer and persevering action. There's much talk today, isn't there, about the promises of God, and so there should be. But the promises of God for sanctification are appropriated not simply by faith, but by faith which expresses itself in daily perseverance. You remember that the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, "Be filled with the Spirit." And to be filled with the Spirit means that you've got to make room. We come up against brick walls in our Christian lives when God wants to move us on and we're not prepared to move. I wonder if that has ever happened to you. I know it's happened to me. And I have to regularly ask God to search my life and show me those areas which are not properly committed to the Lordship of Jesus. And the Word of God, like nothing else, sheds light on that. for it is indeed a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. I think it's not a bad idea to do a regular spiritual checklist in terms of personal morality, public witness, availability for the Lord's service, giving to his work, and as many other areas that Scripture touches. In your quiet time, take out a piece of paper and say, Lord, show me these things as I enunciate them before you. How about my giving? How about my availability? How about my personal morality? How about my witness in the office or at school or in the college or university or at home? And that's the point of daily contact with God's Word. God wants to speak to us on these issues so that we can move forward in our Christian lives. And if then we give over to the Lord in prayer, those areas that the Lord shows us, if we give him our hopes and also give him our fears, give him our emotional life as well as the life of our actions, then he can change us. And that's God's transforming work in power through his Spirit. Yes, he can change us. Yes, he can change that intractable thing, human nature. The Lord can move us on. If we're going to reap the fruit of the Spirit, then we must sow our lives in the field of the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit means taking care in daily Christian living of the books we read, the company we keep, the activities we follow, spiritually speaking, our devotional life, our prayer and Bible reading, not just prayer only, not just Bible reading only, our prayer and Bible study alone in the quietness of our own room, as well as together in our public worship, joining together with the people of God on Sundays, and in the prayer gathering, and in the fellowship groups. All this is part of sowing to the Spirit, that we who've been saved by Jesus might progressively become more and more like him. Look at verse 8 of Galatians 6. He who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, what a promise that is. So I'd like in conclusion to ask you to keep your eyes down at the Bible and look at verse 9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Anybody who sows a field or even a window box knows that you have to be patient. It takes time, doesn't it, for things to grow. It takes time for the Christian to grow. The Lord says, don't be discouraged in this process of growth. Don't grow weary. Just keep your eyes fixed on the amazing promise of God. In due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Everyone in church this evening, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, every one of you will reap a harvest of eternal life if you focus on Jesus, if you look to his resources, and if you sow faithfully and with perseverance to his Holy Spirit. Let us pray together. Father, we praise you for the immeasurable richness of Christ. Help each of us now to apply and go on applying what we've learnt from your word. to give ourselves wholeheartedly to you, that you might indeed change us from one degree of glory into another. May this come from the Lord, who is the Spirit, to the glory of Jesus Christ.